Oscar nominations will be announced on Tuesday, but it's doubtful any movie this year will have the kind of success Silence of the Lambs had a decade ago. Directed by Jonathan Demme, the movie won Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Screenplay, plus acting Oscars for Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster. Its sequel, Hannibal, opens nationwide today. Los Angeles Times film critic Kenneth Turan has this review.
A lot can happen in 10 years. In Hollywood, it's almost a lifetime, long enough for a scary movie to lose its teeth. 10 years have passed since Hannibal Lecter last saw FBI agent Clarice Starling, and those years have not been good for their relationship.
Is this Clarice? Well, hello, Clarice. I'm afraid I have bad news for you.
Is he dead?
Did you get my note? I hope you like the skin cream. I had it specially made for you.
Is he dead, Dr. Lecter?
On one level, Hannibal did everything right. It brought back Anthony Hopkins as the cannibalistic Lecter. It procured Julianne Moore as the replacement for a reluctant Jodie Foster. It even got David Mamet and Steven Zaillian to do the screenplay and Ridley Scott, hot off his highly successful Gladiator, to direct. But somehow all this talent has combined to produce something closer to Jane Eyre than The Exorcist. While Silence thrived on its feral sense of danger, its unnerving ability to make us very afraid, Hannibal takes a more stately approach. Even at its most successful, it's more distasteful than frightening, a sour bottle of a celebrated wine that a gourmet like Hannibal Lecter would not hesitate to send back with a sommelier.
Mama, I told you about it. It's a rendering I found in the Capone Library. Can you make it out? There's a name there. The one I told you about?
Lecter is now living large in Italy. He's the cultivated Dr. Fell, a respected scholar who knows chunks of Dante by heart. He's gotten so mellow that if you hadn't seen Silence of the Lambs, you'd wonder why everyone is so scared of him.
So when you turned Dr. Lecter over to the Tennessee police...
They weren't civil to him. They're all dead now.
Yeah, they only survived his company 3 days. You survived him 6 years at the asylum. How'd you do that? It wasn't just being civil.
Yes, it was.
Did you ever think... After he escaped, he might come after you.
No. He once told me that whenever feasible, he preferred to eat the rood. Free-range rood, he called him. What about you?
As for Starling, Moore makes her colder, fiercer, more unwavering than the woman Foster played. But she's having problems of her own. A bungled drug bust, not her fault to be sure, has gotten her in trouble and made her vulnerable to the intentions of a certain Mason Verger. Played by an unrecognizable Gary Oldman, who was chosen for whatever reason not to be credited, Verger is one of Lecter's victims. Fabulously wealthy, hideously disfigured, his mission in life is revenge, and he dreams about using Starling as the bait for his trap.
You have a secret admirer, Starling. Isn't much to look at, but he does have friends in high places. Remember Mason Verger?
Lecter's fourth victim. The rich one. The only one that survived.
He says he has some new information on Lecter. He'll only share with you.
But with Lecter less terrifying and Starling less vulnerable, there is less reason to worry that anything horrific will happen to her. The film Hannibal has seriously meddled with the ending of the book it's based on, but what's perhaps more problematic is its insistence on a somewhat respectful view of Lecter. We may empathize with the man more than we ever anticipated, but if he's not scaring us silly, what's the point of having him around?
The comments of Kenneth Turan, film critic for the Los Angeles Times.